Welcome to Conversations with Nikki with your host, Nikki Seberini.
Oh, it's lovely to be with you. I'm Nikki Seberini and welcome to it. Thanks for tuning in. I'd like to welcome our syndication partner listeners. That's Radio Today in Johannesburg, Eldo's FM in Johannesburg, Bay FM in PE, MC 90.3 FM in Plettenberg Bay, Knysna FM, Wild Coast FM in East London, Timmining Stereo 89.1 in the Northern Cape, and Cowie FM in Port Alfred. This is the show where we keep you entertained, informed, and inspired. And what a week it's been. You know, have you been watching the cricket? The Proteas playing their hearts out. People talk about choking. I say these guys played with their hearts on their sleeves. And we were all just absolutely heartbroken. What a close ending to that game. And while watching the World Cup cricket, and I don't know how much sport you enjoy watching, but we are a sport-crazy nation. You know, whether we're watching Bafana Bafana, whether we're watching the Proteas, whether we're watching the Springboks, or the provincial teams, there is a real culture in South Africa around watching sport, around socializing when watching sport, and around what we drink, what we are consuming whilst socializing and whilst watching sport. And just because this is something I really enjoy doing with my husband and with my two boys, I think, you know, to be on a level with boys, you have to enjoy a certain amount of sport. And it's an observation that I've made, just looking around and becoming aware of the social attachment to drinking and to sport. And I've just been thinking about it more and more and more and more. And I decided to put it on social networking and to ask the question to you, how do you feel about alcohol attaching to sport, which we're all exposed to? And I was very, very interested to get responses from people. So I'm going to read out a couple of responses because I would love feedback from you after the show. And a reminder that if you have to leave the conversation, or if there are any conversations from the past that you'd like to listen to, please do visit the website, which is www.conversationswithnikki, which is one word, and Nikki is spelled N-I-K-I, .co.za. And you can contact me via the website. And as I said, I would love your feedback on this. So on social networking, and I've really just selected a few, I said, when you're watching sport, if your children are exposed, so we're talking about smaller kids, if you're talking about your teenagers or your young adults are exposed to advertising, are you advertising around alcohol? Are you concerned about it? And if so, why are you concerned about it? And if you're not concerned about it, why aren't you concerned about it? So I'm just going to read out a few, and then we're going to go into the whole dynamics around advertising for sport and for alcohol, and we're going to just really open up this discussion. So Alan Tisson responded and he said, no, I'm not at all concerned, Nikki. I have brought, and he's talking about his son, I have brought him up correctly and he knows better than to be sucked into advertisers. Teach kids right from wrong. It really is that simple. Greg Hurwitz responded and said, I'm totally indifferent. My Oki has never once called the Proteas Castle, but he knows that he knows very well Hashim Amla and AB de Villiers are the captains of the South African cricket team. Justine Butler said, banning alcohol advertising will not lessen drinking. It's culturally ingrained on South Africa. They see their parents drink and are exposed to it regularly. It is an accepted part of society. And Adrian Bugatti said, banning cigarette adverts didn't stop anyone smoking. I don't see banning alcohol advertising stopping people from drinking. What it might, however, do is cause our sports teams to lose the ability to play in international matches due to lack of finance. So, you know, we're getting all sorts of input. It's about the way you're bringing up your kids, that they won't be so influenced by advertising. It's about the game and loving the game, that it doesn't make a difference because it didn't do anything to smoking. And not only that, that if we take away the sponsorship, we are not going to see national sports teams go out and compete internationally because they won't have the funds. So what do you think of that response? And I found it very, very interesting. So we have a panel of guests and they're all going to be coming onto the show throughout the show. bringing in their different levels of expertise and as I said, opening the conversation. But I'd like to start off by introducing my first guest, Walter Pike, and he's the founder of Pike New Marketing, and he advises brands and ad agencies. He's the judge for the SAB Sports Media Awards, and he's worked on many, many campaigns. So if anyone can comment about advertising around alcohol and building these brands, Walter is the man. So Walter, welcome, and Hi. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is a rush to get here in time. Wow.
You got here. Well done. You know, people think that, gone are the days of being able to take one's time on the road. The roads are hazardous, aren't they? Anyway, you're here, Walter. Take a deep breath and relax. So we're having this discussion around advertising, around sports, around creating a particular brand. Now, I'll give you the impression that I get from certain beer brands, for example. You're an Oaky, you're with your group of friends, and you're having a jaw. You're in a pub, or you're at home, and you're all eating biltong, or you brine. You're an everyday South African enjoying South African culture, and if you are a part of that, you're going to drink. Or if we're going to look at certain spirit advertising for spirits, well, then, you know, I mean, you up there in life and you drive a great car and you dress magnificently and you have these gorgeous women around you and you live a life of splendor and absolute glamour. Now, that's just my impression from watching a few ads. Maybe you can just give us an idea of the psychology around attaching a particular lifestyle to a brand.
Well, I think the in many ways the sort of brand attaches itself to the lifestyle. You know, you've got a certain kind of person who does a certain kind of things, and beer or brandy kind of fits into their space. And yes, you know, if part of going to enjoy a game of cricket is also to go and have a few beers, I think that's just how people relate to it. The thing with brands, of course, is that you're always trying to associate. You create associations, trying to create linkages between certain lifestyle things or certain performance things, certain feelings, and you attach that to whatever that brand might be. And in many ways, in the South African context, sport and I'll say beer as well, because I mean beer is kind of more of a sporty drink than spirits might be. But you know, being out in the sun, spending some time, and having a beer at the end of the sport that you've played yourself or with your mates is kind of like part of it. You know, other part of the question, of course, is how much does advertising affect the amount of drinking that's going on? And I think isn't that more or less where you want to be?
Absolutely.
And I'm not really sure. You know, I'm not really sure that it does. The whole sort of idea of drinking alcohol has been around, I mean, since primitive times, and I think people just do it, and I think it's part of a culture, and I think in many ways the brands are kind of like reflecting the culture. I know that that's sort of one side of the debate of advertising and alcohol or alcohol advertising. The next question is, would by getting rid of it, advertising make any difference to the sort of consumption of alcohol? And I'm not sure that it would. I think that it's something that's a mature market. People are doing it, and they're not going to. It's not going to change that much. In fact, I mean, this is quite an interesting sort of brand strategy thing, or an advertising strategy. You could argue that advertising is a defensive tool, that people advertise not only because they have to have awareness, but if they don't advertise, that they would lose their market share in a sort of a battle for the space of people's mind. And you'll find that happens in all brands. There's a sort of a correlation between share of market and share of voice. And if the share of voice reduces, then the share of market tends to reduce. If the share of voice increases, and it's not a straight line relationship, then the share of market also increases. The share of voice increases, the share of market increases. Mm-hmm. So actually, if advertising was banned for all alcohol, you could say it might be a godsend to the brands, because they kind of wouldn't have to fight in yes. that space. And they would then use that money to do other things, which is like what happened with cigarettes. And so you're probably far more likely to get more sponsorships, more things, more application of advertising or of that advertising budget to the sports or whatever else is going on.
Did it affect the sales of tobacco? Are you aware? Because you're talking about, you know, branding and awareness of brand and getting it out there. Because you're still getting young, impressionable teenagers, young adults who are smoking.
Well, I mean, I've got a completely different view to smoking than I do to sort of drinking in moderation. I mean, I think, you know, I think that the problem with alcohol is alcohol abuse, not, you know, having a glass of wine at dinner. But as far as I know, it did not really do that much.
That's so interesting.
And especially when you think of the impressionable young people. I mean, I'm absolutely amazed at how many people of my age are not smoking or have given up.
Yes, and the youngsters are still smoking.
And, you know,
starting.
Like, why? I mean, know. You know, there's no excuse. I mean, you know that it's bad for you and it's going to kill you. So, I mean, there's absolutely no excuse to smoke. Sorry, all my smoking friends.
I mean, my mom and my grandmother always used to say, you know, we didn't know that it was bad for you. We just thought it was something glamorous. Now, Walter, let me just bring in some research that I found. And yes, please, you know, this research isn't the latest research. It was very difficult to find the latest. But it is taken from John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And parents and peers, they had a look at the impact that advertising for alcohol had on parents and peers. And they saw that research indicated that alcohol advertising and marketing has a significant effect on influencing the youth and adult expectations and attitudes, and helps help create an environment that promotes underage drinking. So yes, your parents and your peers are going to influence youth, but certainly the advertising is. So, for example, I'll give you some examples. A national study published in January 2006 concluded that greater exposure to alcohol advertising contributes to an increase in drinking among underage youth. Another study found that among a group of 2.250 middle school students in Los Angeles, and once again I'm going to say this was all I could get. I wish I could find the research that was relevant in South Africa, but we're looking at the US. So in Los Angeles, those who viewed more television programs containing alcohol commercials while in the seventh grade were more likely in the eighth grade to drink beer, wine, liquor, or to drink three or more drinks and on at least one occasion during the month prior to the follow-up survey. Researchers followed that 3.111 students in South Dakota from 7th to 9th grade and found that exposure to in-store beer displays in grade 7 predicted onset of drinking by grade 9, and exposure to magazine advertising for alcohol and to beer concessions at sports or music events predicted frequency of drinking in grade 9. And I could go on and on and on, because it's really extensive research, albeit that it's not the most recent research. And reading this again is very disconcerting. And I'll say it again. You know, my kids love watching sport. That's what we do. We watch soccer. We watch cricket. We watch rugby. We watch it all. And as soon as there's a break, what are they faced with? They are faced with this alcohol advertising. Now, based on this research, this is going to have an impact on them. And why am I responding in this way? Because when my 9-year-old son turns around and says, "Ma, you know what? I can't wait until I'm 18. And he knows it, because it says on the advert that you can only drink when you're 18 and over. "Mom, you know what? I can't wait when I'm 18 and I can have a beer with my friends in the bar." And that's when I sit up and I feel a little bit concerned.
You know, when you look at research like that, and I haven't read the research, so it's hard for me to comment it exactly. But you've got to be so careful with research as to establish things, you know, correlation and causality.
Absolutely,
you know,
I do get that.
Did you being exposed to the alcohol advertising at the party create the predisposition to drinking, or did just being at the party, mm-hmm. you know, or was it just the kind of guys that go to the party that would have caused that? And I mean, the stuff that I've seen, and I don't have any of it here, so I definitely can't quote anything. So has really not shown that. It's shown that you can maybe get people to switch brands, and I guess if it's really cool to drink in excess, then possibly you would. I can tell a personal story of my son, who's a magnificent cricketer, and who was playing Premier League cricket when he was 15, I think.
Wow.
15 or somewhere around about there, 15 or 16. And of course, you know, when you're playing adult cricket, you get involved in all the stuff that goes around it, and part of that are fines, meetings, and all the rest of the things that are part of being with the boys and being in cricket. He's now 26, and I don't think he's had a drop of alcohol for 4 or 5 years. You know, it became a decision that he made for himself, and I mean, I just wish actually that advertising was that powerful, that you could, you know, pull a switch and run an ad and people would do what you wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. And when you start thinking about where advertising is moving and how things happen in advertising, I mean, the area that I spend most of my time in actually is in social media and the effect of digital and things like that on brands and marketing. And the things that we have found is that peer-to-peer stuff is more important than straight advertising. That what your mates think of you, mm-hmm. is more important than straight advertising. And research that I've seen in the South African context, where there's a lot of alcohol abuse, and it's actually it really is crazy stuff. From alcohol abuse where you know when you're in a shebeen, you're buying kind of two quarts at a time and opening them both and downing them, or when you in the sort of youth sort of pub crawling process moving around, there does really in a South African context there seems to be a you only live once kind of attitude, mm-hmm. a kind of understanding that says, well, you know, it's fine, let's have a jol if we want to have a jol, and a lot of non-responsible use or non-use in not in excess. And I mean, I know that some of the alcohol companies are actually spending quite a lot of effort and money in trying to sort that out, in trying to make sure that the people who are in these situations are not abusing, but that's going to have to come from a change in culture and a change in
Well, there's
fear.
So many variables, yeah. aren't there? Because you're looking at a change in culture, you're looking at poverty and unemployment,
yes.
you're looking at people who have a predisposition, if there yes. is addiction in the family. So I know it's not as simple as, yeah. as you know, it's not that linear and that simple. I mean, it is really, really complex. But I do still question again and again why so much money goes into advertising a product which causes so much death, violence, abuse in this country. That is what it does. So whether, I mean, you just saying, you know, whether you advertise or whether you don't, but the point is so much money. I mean, in a moment, we are going to be talking to Dr. Osborne Mahanjana, who's the chief executive of the Industry Association for Responsible Alcohol Use. Now, maybe you and I can have a discussion about what responsible alcohol use is, but we know that a whole lot of people don't. The South Africa Medical Journey in 2012 said that South Africa is a hard drinking country. It is reckoned that we consume in excess of 5 billion liters of alcohol annually. This figure is likely to be higher still if sorghum beer is included, and equates to 9.10 liters of pure alcohol per person. I mean, that is frightening. Again, I mean, we're looking at research, but I mean, this is what's coming out. This is what's being communicated. And according to the World Health Organization report, that this is in 2011, this is among the highest per capita consumption rates in the world, and it is continuing to rise. It was 2011. We're in 2015. Can you imagine what the levels are now? So it's increasing. We're living in very stressful times. Things are not getting better. Things are not getting easier. And yet millions and millions and millions of rands are being poured into advertising this, which is creating a lot of turmoil in our society.
You know, I mean, I don't know if that research that you've got there looks at, I mean, you've got a per capita. Is that per capita of the population, adult population, or because the actual number of people, the percentage of people who abuse alcohol is actually quite small. So the abusers are probably having three times as much alcohol as what you're talking about. Because I mean, there are lots of things. There is responsible use. There is excessive use. There is a question about whether there's a causality between the sort of drinking and violence. Or, you know, I mean, I'm involved in a lot of women's rights things and anti-rape.
But then you know how many of those cases are linked to alcohol use. Yeah,
there are.
How many of them?
But you know, what was the cause? You know, if you take the rape thing, is the cause in the bottle? Is the cause in the rape culture, which is in South Africa? Mm-hmm. What does it do? Does somebody who sees a drunk woman, you know, lying passed out on the floor? And I mean, this happens around the world, unfortunately. You know, what makes that person take advantage? Of that person is that alcohol, or is that a whole lot of other social ills and a lot of social stuff that we have to fix? The way to fix this, I think that by cutting alcohol advertising you're going to stop it, I think that we're being really naive. Mm-hmm. I think that
you think it goes a lot deeper.
I think it's much deeper. I think it's much more into society's attitudes to lots of things. And as I say, it's society's attitude to violence, society's attitude to, you know, I couldn't give a damn whether I get into a car drunk, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Society's attitudes to how they see women, the society's attitudes to a hell of a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of the advertising, if you see it, you know, especially sports advertising, is sort of wholesome use. I mean, there's a lot of mates sitting around, you know,
absolutely, it's wonderful, wonderful lifestyle.
But, I mean, clearly that's only at that level. Mm. When it gets into some other point, it becomes much worse. And then, of course, you get fetal alcohol syndrome and people doing those kinds of things, which are absolute poison and destroying generations of people to come. So it's a serious issue. Mm. You know, I think alcohol abuse is a very, very serious issue. Whether the key to switching or to changing society is to be found in advertising or not, I think is open for debate. Mm-hmm. The research, as I say, the research that I've seen has not adequately established that causality to me. I mean, they haven't isolated people and sort of put them into a room and kept them sort of away from life and just shown them advertising for alcohol and got them, you know, it's just so hard to do that research, you know, to get to those numbers. But yes, there is the again, gang-style things. You know, there's the people that you hero worship are these people that are sort of paralytically drunk. I mean, that's really not cool. All of those things are not cool. The advertising itself, is it pushing that kind of lifestyle? No, it's not. It's pushing a wholesome lifestyle. Obviously, it is going to push a wholesome lifestyle because that's what the face of the alcohol companies want to put on it. But it isn't bad in moderation.
It's such an interesting debate. I mean, you spoke about your own son who made the decision not to drink. When I put it out there on social networking, most of the responses I got were people who said that they have no problem with their children being exposed to it because it all has to do with the way their children have been brought up. Mm. And then, as we said, they can have people with predispositions to addiction or whatever it is. But isn't it kind of like advertising guns? So a gun can be used responsibly, but no one really advertises guns because we know that guns can kill. But let's call a spade a spade. Yes, of course there is responsible drinking, and of course it can be enjoyed. And the research has shown that a glass of red wine can do wonders for your blood pressure and cholesterol levels. But by advertising, it's like advertising for guns and weapons and...
No, but if you, I mean,
we can, you know, it is an interesting debate.
But if you, take that, even that same thing, who's the guy that wants the gun? You know, is being exposed to advertising for a Remington, is that going to make him make a decision that I'm now going to become a gun owner, or is that going to make him choose a Remington over some other other make of gun? And in one of the big arguments about in the alcohol world is advertising creating new demand, or is it allocating the demand? So, you know, is some going to beer and some going to whiskey and some going to Castle and some going to Windhoek, or is it actually making the pot grow larger? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you've got to look at this debate, whether that is what is happening, whether those people that were at that party that were exposed to beer advertising, who then said, well, we'll have a beer, whether they would have had tick. You know, that research, my understanding of that research from what you've told me, which is clearly not the whole research, doesn't give that.
I hear you. Walter, we're going to take a break, and I really hope that you listening right now are going to give it some thought and interact with me. You know, contact me if it's on the Facebook page, which is Conversations with Nikki, or on the website, www.conversationswithnikki.co.za. I really, how do you feel about that? And what I do find interesting is that so many people talk about it's how you were brought up. What are your morals? What are your values? What are your limitations? We're hoping to speak to a psychologist just now, so stay with us. We're going to play some music and we'll be back just now.
We
make your next event unforgettable with a host from the production house. You've heard Conversations with Nikki. Now you can book Nikki and a range of other celebrated interviewers to have conversations at your next event. Whether it's a seminar, corporate event, or fundraiser, our host will help you get the story out of celebrities, company management, award winners, or internal achievers. To delight, indulge, or entertain your audience, book Nikki or one of our other great hosts, speakers, and MCs. Contact the production house on info@pxhouse.co.za. Welcome to Conversations with Nikki, with your host, Nikki Sabarini.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. It is fabulous to be with you. I am Nikki Sabarini, and I'd like to welcome our syndication partner listeners. That's Radio Today in Johannesburg, Eldo's FM in Johannesburg, Bay FM in PE, MC 90.3 FM in Plettenberg Bay, Neisner FM, Wild Coast FM in East London, Timmining Stereo 89.1 in the Northern Cape, and Kawi FM in Port Alfred. This is the show where we keep you entertained, informed, and inspired. And we are having an interesting discussion around advertising, around brands, and very specifically alcohol advertising and the attachment to sport. And we're looking at all angles, really, because nothing is clear cut. And I put it on social media and I asked a whole lot of you how you felt about your children or young people being exposed, young impressionable people, and did you think there was any type of danger of them being exposed to alcohol advertising, where there's very much this wonderful connection between a lifestyle and drinking a particular drink. And a lot of you responded saying that you weren't concerned at all. So we decided to bring a whole panel together and just look a little bit deeper into this conversation. So it's been really, really quite compelling getting insights and views from Walter Pike, who is the founder of Pike New Marketing, and he advises brands and ad agencies. He's in fact a judge for the SAB Sports Media Awards. And Walter, I think you take a lot of the emotion out of it. You know, as I said, for me, it was very much a response to my nine-year-old child telling me in between watching a Liverpool game, because he is such a supporter, that he cannot wait to be 18 years old and have a drink with his pals in the pub, and I nearly fell off my chair. And that obviously is a very emotional response to something, and you looking at it in a very clear-cut way, saying that it's far more complex, and you can't just say that the advertising is going to impact negatively on the youth and get them to drink, although I have brought some research to that. So we're expanding on that conversation. I'd like to welcome a psychologist, Professor Michael Simpson. Hi, Professor.
Hi,
Professor. Thank you very much for holding, and thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Pleasure.
Professor, as you've just heard, I mean, I was reading up, I was just talking about some research that was done in the United States, and it was done between 4 and 5 years ago. So unfortunately, it's not recent research, and it's certainly not research that was conducted in South Africa. And the findings were that the youth are impressionable, that in fact, alcohol advertising can have a negative impact. They can drink more. Walter said, you know, it's not as clear cut as that. You have to bring in all the variables and we have to look at that. And a whole lot of people, a whole lot of the listeners responded by saying that it has to do with the way you bring up your children, the way they see the world, their foundations, their morals, etc., etc. What are your feelings on that? Do you think it's far more complex, the human character, the human psyche? Is it far more complex than just saying if you see advertising, you're going to be affected?
Yes and no. Yes, it's complicated, as your previous speaker had mentioned, but there's no question that with any combination of factors, the person who has taken more than a tiny amount of alcohol is more likely to be violent, and your upbringing certainly is very important as a preventive and as a safeguard, but the more you drink, the less upbrung you were. The more you forget what your parents taught you, the more your standards tend to drop, the less in control of your impulses you are. And so that, above a certain amount, alcohol really can override a lot of the factors one has that might otherwise protect us.
Is it, do we all, I mean, we're all chemically slightly different, aren't we? I mean, are some of us going to respond in more of a violent way, or some of us going to be more affected by alcohol? I mean, do we need to also consider that?
Yes, the point is we will be more, at one level, we're all going to be very much alike. We will be more impulsive, less thoughtful, but which impulses we don't control so well may depend more on what our nature is.
Mm.
So I always used to find that when I was a student in London, and on casualty you'd get lots of drunks coming in, and some of them would sing horribly, some of them would get miserable and weep, and some of them would get very aggressive for the most pathetic of reasons.
Mm.
So they would all be less in control of themselves and doing things they'd regret the next morning. Precisely what they'd do would depend more on their background and in some ways maybe even cultural background. And the issue would still be, though, that none of them, given enough alcohol, would be behaving the way they'd feel proud of the next day.
What is your personal opinion around exposing young children? And I say that because if you go into a pub and you've got posters up on the wall, or if you're going to have advertising in a pub where only adults are allowed to enter, you're over the age of 18, you've made the decision to drink, therefore you can be exposed to that advertising. What are your thoughts of young, impressionable minds being exposed to a product that they cannot have access to until they are 18 years old?
Well, of course, whatever is forbidden tends to be more tempting.
Mm.
So you may look forward to getting your opportunity to try it. But I'm interested that with alcohol and even with cigarettes, very few people greatly enjoy their first experience or even their first several.
True.
Very few people light up one cigarette and say, wow, this is my life, I love this. In fact, what is odd is that people persist when it makes them feel slightly sick and makes them cough, and they'll stick with it for long enough to then find all the bits they like about it.
Mm.
And the same with alcohol. Many kids will, some parents are following the fact that in parts of Europe where culturally children are given small amounts of wine, for example, to drink with family meals, have assumed that allowing children early access might be a safeguard because the alcoholism rates are a bit lower in such countries. But we can't be quite certain of the ultimate impact of that.
Mm.
And children, I think, one of the things I wanted to say earlier was that we must be very cautious in how we interpret research.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big facts, I mean, I used to train people in how to do research and read research.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is, for example, you only get answers to the questions you ask.
Too true.
So if you're not careful, you overinterpret it. People offered these three options. This is how many chose them. But there may have been even more would have preferred options 4 and 5, which
mm-hmm.
you didn't ask about.
Mm-hmm.
So interpreting the exact meaning is why some of us prefer an approach that both asks some specific questions so you've got something to compare, and also has an open-ended bit where you sit and chat and give people a chance to bring up the stuff that you didn't ask about.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're actually quite angry that nobody asked me about or nobody let me say this or that. So research can't be too simply interpreted. Advertising, I wonder about it. If I look at South African adverts on television, for alcohol, it would appear that alcohol causes very nice rooms with very comfortable couches in them. it's universal, as far as I can see, 100%. That's why I, at 18, want to get my first bottle of beer, because it will transform the little nasty little place I'm living in.
Mm.
So what the issue is, what conclusions do people draw from that? And similarly, although we want to encourage responsible drinking, and none of the adverts I've seen show a drunk falling over in the road or doing anything really nasty, it may be, you could argue, that showing people drinking responsibly and just having a darn good time may encourage kids to believe that that's what alcohol does, and that that's all that alcohol does. Mm. And the trouble is, we know that's not all it does. So they may minimize the impression of the bad effects.
So are you saying, Professor, that we're so busy creating this wonderful lifestyle that that is what children are? So it's almost glamorizing the alcohol, whereas if we want to encourage responsible drinking, we should actually expose them to the harm and the dangers around alcohol.
I've often
Are you saying balancing it up, maybe? Or
balancing it, and it depends on what you mean by responsible. I mean, to me, making it clear in adverts, for example, that some people behave badly when they drink, and that that's not cool, that's stupid, that that's something that you should jeer at rather than admire, may be very useful, rather than leaving that out of the equation, so that everyone is, look at those adverts, everyone's beautiful. Mm. I'd obviously improve my looks if I drank more. May be that you need to show that. I think part of the problem with teenagers especially is the idea that drugs or alcohol are cool, that they're clever, that this guy's much, much smarter than the rest of us because he drinks. And in fact, he doesn't. And there's also some evidence beginning to come out that the current generation of kids in some countries may be drinking less and drugging less. And no one has any idea really why that might be. There may be changes. Mm-hmm. You can't say, well, that was because I had that lovely advert. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But it's well worth exploring.
For sure.
Sometimes I suspect it's more that the kids, on the whole, have seen how silly and boring and unfunny people are when they're drunk or drugged out of their heads, and are beginning to say, I can do better than that.
Well, we hope they are, and then that all boils down to the way we bring up our children.
Exactly.
So that they are confident enough and they have self-esteem in place to be able to make those decisions. But let me bring Walter Pike into the conversation. Walter, these tactics used for advertising, because this is where I find, and I'm going to introduce our next guest in a moment, because what I find in interesting is when we look at advertising for alcohol and for tobacco, the warnings are there. So tobacco, don't, if you're pregnant, it can cause cancer, can do all of these things. But we know that with certain campaigns, advertising campaigns, Walter, they've decided to go for the scare tactics. It escapes me. It was in one country where they showed horrific pictures. Was it in people showing bodies just after accidents? Was it against speeding? Was it against whatever? I don't know. But what are your thoughts from a branding and advertising perspective to balance it out so that, yes, you are, it's a great romantic, glamorous lifestyle, but these are the dangers, and this is how we can promote that.
If I can answer that in kind of like two steps, as a carry on from the previous thing, is that there are cultures that where it's regarded as being not manly to lose control, and I'm talking about African cultures where it's not manly to lose control, and two beers is it, because after that, I'm an idiot because I've lost control and done things like that. So part of it is this cultural thing, and how do you get to that culture? And it is actually possible to change cultures given enough time and enough approach. The warnings things, the jury is definitely out on that. I've seen lots of discussion, or been part of a lot of discussion where the warning seems to have absolutely no effect whatsoever. It's either a challenge, or it's just too far removed, or I just don't care about it. It's just wallpaper. In fact, it seems to have very little effect. And I wonder if the previous guest actually has got any research on that looks at how those warnings work, and if he's established whether any of those warnings actually work, because I'm not sure that it does. I think that the rest of the sort of advertising point is that advertising just isn't that powerful. You know, it used to be, and certainly it used to be more powerful in years gone by than it is now, because we do have the effect of peer-to-peer communication in social and social networks. And
but that's an extension of the advertising, no, isn't not. It? Because people have become brand-obsessed, haven't they?
No.
Really?
No, I absolutely disagree. I think that social media is exactly a space where people have these kinds of discussions. They interact with people in a network, and they get to points where they discuss and agree with things. And the big advantage of social networking, of course, is that we used to only be able to speak to our kind of like 6 closest friends or 12 closest friends. Now we can speak to our sort of 10,000 closest friends. And you get involved in a different discussion. And if you can seed those discussions, which is actually what I do professionally, is try and get into seeding those discussions, you can get the discussion to move into a direction in which they debate the things that are important to debate. Some research that I saw on alcohol was also a thing where people were seeing peer pressure, and the peer pressure that comes from many aspects, and you can, part of that peer pressure may be the peer pressure that comes from television advertising, other kinds of advertising, but how people became relieved by an idea that said that actually I don't have to comply with that peer pressure because it actually isn't really me. So you'd have a layer of peer pressure. This is what you need to be cool. But if somebody gave them permission to be not cool, the responses to that not being not cool was welcome, because in fact they didn't want to be cool. And I think that might be what's causing these overseas things to change.
Prof?
Yes, I think in a way the message needs to be that it's not cool to be cool, that to simply follow a trend because everyone else does is in itself rather silly, rather immature. And I think it may be that part of the hopeful trends we've been seeing in teenagers doing less substance abuse may be that some of them are seeing through this and saying, yeah, I don't have to do that. I can still be cool in the sense of being nice and intelligent and appealing and popular without having to be drunk.
That's encouraging.
And I think one of the experiments that happened to me by accident when I was a kid, and I found has happened to many others, is if you, for whatever reason, end up at a party sober when everybody else is getting drunk, you really look at some of them and think, good God, I hope that doesn't happen to me. I mean, Lordy, I hope I'm never going to be like that. Mm. But if everybody gets drunk at the same time, you don't notice it. Mm. That seems to be how it is, and everybody's being just as silly, and your critical standards are dropping off from that. On the negative advertising, I think our friend is right that I think there's been a lot of naive assumptions in some countries. I think Australia is doing it at the moment. Cigarettes must be in plain wrappings with hideous pictures of rotten teeth and filthy lungs and so on. And most of what I've seen, I interpret the research as showing that people say, yuck, thank God I'm not like that. I remember an earlier study when there was a heavy advertising campaign showing horrible ashtrays full of stubs of cigarettes and ash. Yes, non-smokers find that utterly disgusting. Mm. Smokers looked at that and said, you see, I'm much more tidy.
Interesting. Okay.
That's why it doesn't apply to me.
Mm. Thank you, Professor. I must say, I think I fall into the category of it would terrify me. I'd see those pictures and I'd stay away. But then that's the way I process it, and we all process it differently. So I'd like to, and thanks, Professor, please do stay where you are. I'd just like to introduce our next guest, and that is Dr. Osborne Mahanjana, who is the Chief Executive of the Industry Association for Responsible Alcohol Use. Doctor, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Nikki. More than welcome. More than happy to be here.
So, I mean, you've really popped in as we're talking about responsible drinking, and we're looking at responsible advertising, and we're having this discussion around exposing this kind of alcohol advertising to young, impressionable minds. So for you, representing responsible alcohol use here in South Africa, what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting question. And if you look at the stakeholders, one thing that they'll always complain about it is the advertisement that they think that it targets young people, that it works, it leads to young people to consume a lot of alcohol. I'll start firstly to answer the question in two ways. If you look at the relationship between advertisement and consumption of alcohol, there is a systemic review which was done recently and published, and some of our academics participated from University of Cape Town and Stellenbosch. It was a Cochrane research which shows that there was no conclusive evidence to say that there's a relationship between advertisement and the consumption of alcohol. Mm-hmm. So it didn't lead to that type of conclusion. But we can't ignore some of the concerns sometimes raised by people who see this as a problem. For example, some of the other issues that they raise is that alcohol advertisements occur during children's programs, or they occur using celebrities, which means then those young people aspire to be those celebrities and glamorize as alcohol. Yes. So we're saying as an industry, if that's a concern, those issues can be dealt with through self-regulations, because as advertisement of alcohol doesn't promote people to drink more, but to deal with specific issues, the use of celebrities, probably you can talk to the manufacturers of alcohol to say, look at this, there's a better way of doing this. Advertisement during children's programs, you can say that you cannot advertise probably during the day, you can advertise only from this time going forward. Because advertisement is for brand awareness and to maintain positions to those people who've already decided to drink and continue drinking, to have choices to know what's the price, what products to consume, at what time to be able to consume them.
Is there legislation in place that will protect children during children's programs from alcohol advertising?
The legislation is not there, it's not in place, but in an interesting place, the industry has taken, I want to call it a self-regulation or a regulatory mechanism or a co-regulations, where they've taken proactively among themselves to say that we're coming with these guidelines, we won't be able to do this on their own will and everything. So I think as the ARA, that's a proposal I want to make to the manufacturers of alcohol and say, I think it is at your own interest and also listening to the concerns of the stakeholders. If we're able to do this, I think we'll be able to meet the concerns of the stakeholders without, sometimes when I'm here, the debates and arguments going total ban of advertisements. To me, it's like killing a fly with 4 pounds, because you can address some of these concerns without going to the extremes of what they are proposing.
I think there's maybe a grey area. Walter wanted to contribute, but let me just say, I think that there could be a grey area here, because we're now looking at, let's look at sports channels, and let's look at kids, these aspiring soccer players, rugby players, cricketers. You know, they idolise players from the Proteas, Bafana Bafana, Springboks, that they want to be like them. And when they're watching and they're exposed, they are very much exposed to adverts that are geared towards people 18 years and older. Yet, that is what they're exposed to. So where do we find a balance there, and how do we control that? And should we be controlling that?
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one, because what we want to be able to propose, it's because you've raised an interesting, crucial issue that over the weekend and at sports placing during the day, and then children might be watching, and then there'll be advertisements of alcohol, which by its nature, most people who watch sports are adults, but they are children. Us as an industry association want to take it a step further to say that if you are able, you want to limit exposure of children to those advertisements, that advertisement of alcohol that happens during those times, that it must not happen. So we want to talk to our stakeholders to say that it must happen only in the evening. If it so happened that Springboks plays at 3 p.m. or at 5 p.m., they can have the in-stadium advertisement, but to have the one brand coming up and another one advertisement, even if it is allowed, we want to say that we want to listen to the concerns of the stakeholders. But the research hasn't shown that advertisement of alcohol itself, without forgetting that it makes young people want to drink. But our issue is to say that we can't ignore stakeholders' concerns, so let's be able to address it, but not forgetting the underlying issue that advertisement itself, it doesn't encourage young people to be able to start drinking.
Thank you. Walter, you want to say something?
Yeah, I think that's important, because Because if we haven't established a causality that says advertising equals more drinking, then by banning alcohol, the people that you're punishing, in fact, are not the media, not the alcohol producers. You're actually publishing the media companies, because they'll have been have less chance of getting the funds that they need. And if there's no correlation, that's actually quite a big step to take, because that prevents other ideas and positive ideas also to spread, whether that's social media or broadcast media.
Well, I have, I hope I have Yusuf Abramji on the line, who is the head of news and current affairs at Prime Media Broadcasting, head of communications of the Prime Media Group. Yusuf, thank you very much for joining us.
Good afternoon to you, Nikki.
So, Yusuf, we're having this conversation around alcohol advertising, the attachment to sports, whether young children should be exposed to it, they could be exposed to it. And I know that Lead SA is very, very big with getting behind the all national sports. We are a sport-loving nation. It brings us together time and time again. And yet we know that the major sponsors are alcohol. I'm not going to be specific about the sponsors. Do you have any concerns around that, Yusuf? Are you aligning in any way for that kind of attachment to the brand or not?
Well, let me first of all say I'm speaking here in my private capacity. We haven't canvassed the views of Lead South Africa or Prime Media on this particular issue, but my personal view is very clear. There is no doubt that advertising does have a correlation to consumer usage. And I think some of your guests have mentioned that there is no research to back it up. However, having said that, personally, I think there is a problem to really promote alcohol, especially amongst the younger people. We know that many of our youth see these sporting personalities as role models. So there needs to be a broader discussion about the effects that it's having on consumers. Let's take the whole debate around the banning of cigarette advertising that goes back a few years. There was a good reason to do that. And there's no doubt that alcohol abuse is very, very widespread. Mm. We are getting reports these days of young children, even in primary school, drinking alcohol. In fact, the MEC for Education in Gauteng, Panyaza Lesufi, just the other day said that he was very concerned about alcohol usage and abuse amongst our young children. And we know for a matter of fact that alcohol is a big contributing factor to various serious crimes in South Africa. So my personal view is that we need a broader discussion. I think the call for banning is something that needs to be taken seriously. I think government has a very important role to play here, and they make a valid point to say that there needs to be a banning of alcohol, which obviously is going to impact heavily not only on the distributors, the manufacturers of alcohol, but even the media who rely heavily on advertising, and so does the sporting administrators and the fraternities, because many of the sponsorship comes from alcohol companies.
And what about responsible advertising?
Well, what is responsible advertising? I've just driven a few minutes ago past a billboard in Stanton. It advertises, it's got a big photograph of a well-known beer that is being sold. There is a line at the bottom to say not for usage under 18 or something to the effect. But yet you have kids in your car who are looking at that billboard. Mm. Is that responsible advertising? Surely not.
Mm-hmm. Yusuf, thank you. We're coming to the end of the show, and I want to thank you. I mean, those are very strong words and strong opinions, and I'm glad that you've brought that to this discussion. I wish we could be starting the discussion again. As you say, we need to continue having the discussions around this, because there are so many opinions and there are so many variables involved. So thank you very, very much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yusuf Abramji, I mean, those were very strong words, Walter. Very strong words.
Yes, I mean they were, and I think that, I mean, again I think that we've got to, before we make decisions, we've got to make sure that the things that we're doing has an impact. So if we're going to do something to manage society, to do certain things, we need to use the tools, the right tools that are going to do that. And certainly alcohol abuse is a major problem, fantastically big problem in South Africa, but banning, the question is, does banning advertising ban alcohol abuse?
Okay, so yeah. You have to look at, yes.
Yeah, I just want to agree with my colleague here. It's to me, the question is to, it's easy sometimes to fall to this trap of sometimes using anecdotal evidence. And to me, I'm always a belief that policy needs to be informed by evidence and existing evidence. South Africa proposing to ban advertisement probably is not the first country. There are countries there. And if you look at that research and the research that has been done, as I've said it initially, there's no evidence supporting the use of banning of advertisements and will lead to the reduced consumption of alcohol. But one critical issue I want to say that alcohol abuse is a problem in South Africa. And I believe there are other policy tools that can be used to deal with this problem without banning the advertisement of alcohol.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Dr. Osborne Manjana, Chief Executive of the Industry Association for Responsible Alcohol Use. Thank you, Walter Pike, founder of Pike New Marketing. And thank you, Professor Michael Simpson. It has been wonderful having you on the show. I would like just to say that the Minister of Health media liaison, Dr. Pakisha Aaron Motsaledi, has stated that the proposed legislation from the Department of Health around alcohol in South Africa was not of interest to them at this time because we wanted them to comment on the show. Also, we tried to get a representative from SAB, but they were unable to allocate relevant spokesperson to discuss sponsorship and advertising. So, you know, you make up your mind. We've had this discussion. It really has opened up a lot. Let's see what happens. Is it responsible and what is responsible? So thank you so much for your time. I look forward to being with you same time next week.
Did you miss a show or have to leave mid-conversation? No problem. Visit our website on www.conversationswithnikki.co.za and catch up on all the shows.